that's where we start on America Tonight. Hope you had a good one. Coast to coast and everywhere in between, all the nooks and crannies. Left, right, independent, I don't care what you call yourself. You're always welcome to throw in your 2 cents. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Hey, we know that the stare down on the 38th parallel is getting a little hairier as North Korea severed all ties with South Korea. Ultimately, what does it mean? It means there's some trigger-happy people standing there looking at each other, and things could rattle and roll in the next couple of weeks. So I'll tell you what, it's going to look different in Korea. I totally believe this in the next 8 months or so, but I think something's going to happen pretty dramatic within the next couple of weeks. We'll dive into that. We're going to start with what happened in Jamaica, Mon. I said this the other day. There were travel alerts from the State Department where they were all about don't go to Jamaica. And, you know, you don't have to tell me that because I had a cousin who went there for a honeymoon a few years ago. And with all these commercials about how great Jamaica is, he was staying at one of those all-inclusive resorts and wanted to tour the island, wanted to see the island, wanted to go to Kingston. And they said, oh, no, no, no. Man, you want to stay here. You don't want to be getting yourself off the grounds. And I can see why. And this is why, because of what happened in the slums. Thousands of police and soldiers stormed the ghettos pretty much. And this is an area, sadly, where some of my favorite music comes from, reggae. And they were looking for this reputed drug kingpin wanted by our country. And it intensified heavily in a third day. So far, 30 people confirmed dead. They're looking for the underworld boss named Christopher Dudas Koch, as he provides, I guess, protection and whatnot that's all funded by a criminal empire that was untouchable until the U.S. said, we want this guy now. We want him extradited. So Koch has this amazing following in a very poor area in a Kingston slum that he calls his stronghold, and he's been trafficking cocaine to the streets of New York City since the mid-90s, pretty much hiring island women to fight the drugs, hide the drugs, rather, on themselves and on flights to the United States. That's how they're getting it back. So they're the mules, if you will. And there have been very few, it's like a movie, there have been very few published photographs of this man. So he is one of the most dangerous drug lords on the planet Earth. That's what they call him. And he's 5 feet 4 inches, basically, and he rules the roost and has definitely brokered some incredible deals. It is so bad in Jamaica on Tuesday. They closed schools and businesses all over the capital. The government appealed for blood donations because there are so many wounded people. And the epicenter is that West Kingston slum, known as the Garrisons, and that's where a lot of the superstars of reggae came from, like Bob Marley was raised there, just to give you an idea of the area that we're talking about. But this is what it sounded like. Here's a little bit of what the violence sounded like on the streets. Yeah, I mean, you can't fake that. Speaking of not faking it, we go from Jamaica to our own shores. Check this out. It has gotten so sticky along the border, and thank goodness for Governor Jan Brewer, while she's getting attacked right and left. Obama's ordering 1,200 guard troops to the border and also looking for $500 million to help improve law enforcement, like, you know, border security, that kind of stuff, so that something can be done in these Spartan places that we're talking about in Arizona, in New Mexico, in Texas, in California. But he announced the deployment. He went to lunch, came back from lunch, and said, we need these guards on the border. We need it now. And this is what we have to do as far as immigration is concerned. We've got to get it done. Arizona's 2 Republican senators said the deployment wasn't enough. But, hey, at least it's something, because there was nothing going on before. And 1,200 isn't enough to cover it, but it is something. Something versus Zippo, Zira, nada, ignoring it. And that's what's happened in the past. So the National Guard troops are going to specifically target intelligence and do surveillance and reconnaissance and analysis and training and support efforts to try to block drug trafficking. And they're going to temporarily help the Border Patrol agents until Customs and Border Protection can get more officers and agents to serve on the border. So if you're looking for a job, I'm just saying there's an opening, and maybe this one's for you. So the funds are going to be used for technology and information and targeting illegal trafficking in drugs and weapons and money. You know, somebody asked me this question the other day, and I actually had to look it up because I had a ballpark figure, but I didn't want to do one of those guesstimate things. I wanted to get it closer. There's over 20,000 Border Patrol agents right now, mostly along the southern border. There are 344 U.S. National Guard troops working on the border. Now you're going to multiply that with this extra 1,200. But the one thing Arizona has done, the one thing the governor of Arizona has done, has pushed the president to act. That's exactly it. She has compelled Obama to act. Because I don't think that the National Guard, even that small amount, would be headed to the border if it weren't for Arizona's tough illegal immigration law. Because now it's pushed the border problem more into the public spotlight once again. So it was too, because of the passage of it, you couldn't just ignore what happened in Arizona. I mean, clearly, she lit the fuse that started the talk finally once again, reignited it, of doing something for the people in Arizona and the other border states, because I don't think this would have happened. I don't think it would have happened without it. I really don't believe that. So let's see how effective the 1,200 are and where they're being dispersed. But something is better than nothing. It's going to take way more than that to secure the border. There's no question. But at least there is an effort being made. You think of the cattleman, Robert Krentz, and the fact that he was shot dead on his ranch in late March. And police followed the tracks from the scene of the shooting at the Mexican border. They have not made any arrests. Of course, they can't find out who did it. There was even a story about, it probably wasn't somebody illegally, because there was so much heat on the Krentz death. And this was a guy who was helping people who needed his help, who helped people who crossed illegally. Now, the border, 2,000 miles is what we're talking about, 2,000 miles. So you put 1,200 and you think of the 2,000 miles. So that's one National Guardsman for about every 2 miles. So significantly short, but still I'm going to find it hard to dog them on that one because they're militarizing the border somewhat, and that's better than nothing. Zippo, nada. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about John Wayne, because his birthday is coming up, so I thought it'd be fun to find out some stories about the Duke. We could use a man like the Duke, couldn't we, on the border? Hang with us.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTownGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Air and Aqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. Air and Aqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? Air and Aqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. Air and Aqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's air and A-Q-U-A aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
You, that could be the new mantra for the National Guard heading it to the border, just 12,000 or 1,200 troops for 2,000 miles of border area that has to be covered. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You can throw in your two cents. Is this, do you think, a thumbs-up move by Washington to, or the president, the administration to do this? 800-259-5791, or is it too little too late? I mean, I think this should have happened before, but at least something's happening. At least something. And it is because of what happened in Arizona. I don't care what they say. This was not on the agenda. This was not high on the list. And he easily could have stayed in the shadows until the end of the year. Not that there wouldn't have been discussion about illegal immigration and what to do. But it wouldn't have been at the forefront because there were too many things out there. Healthcare reform, the financial nightmare and financial reform. Now what's happening internationally with Korea, with South Korea, and what is North Korea ultimately going to do? The situation with Iran, Afghanistan, for goodness sake, and looking at Karzai, and is he the reliable partner? Because Hamid Karzai is the president. He's the guy. He's there for another 6 years. So there were so many other things that I believe leapfrogged over illegal immigration. If that could have sat in the background a little bit longer, trust me, there would be a lot of people in Washington that would have been happier about it and would have gladly waited until the new year to pick the ball up and start to talk about that. But it's too late, and it's because of Arizona. So I think we need to give and I know this is going to be controversial for some people, and you just go ahead and send those emails or give me a call, because like I say, everybody's welcome. But I think you got to give a hand to poor, you know, Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, because, you know, her legislative body set this up, and then she signed the bill and put it into motion. So how about some applause for the gov of Arizona? Suddenly silent. Those people in Minnesota, if we did not ply them with Red Bull, it's not like a Jimmy Kimmel audience. There's always going to be that hesitation. And, you know, look, I know that there was concern of racial profiling, and that's abhorrent and shouldn't happen. There's profiling. It's called, you don't have to use the word racial. It's profiling. It's profiling at the airport. It's what happens to me when I travel internationally. And the thing is with Arizona, there already were means to stop people anyway. So at least something comes out of this that I think most people will agree is necessary and has to happen. I don't care if you're the most liberal of liberals. You do not want this country overrun with drug scumbags who are ultimately getting the stuff that ends up on the playgrounds where your kids are. You don't want that. You want to plug that hole up as much as you can. I don't think you'll ever stop the flow of drugs, but the gang violence related to that and the ridiculous level of not fearing any kind of retaliation and figuring out ways to get the stuff in, it's like beyond arrogance. Oh, who cares? It's supply and demand, baby. Don't worry. We have a way. We'll get it in. We'll figure it out. So I give her credit. At least something is being done. At least something is happening. Might not be enough, but it's a start. It's a start. So you know how we love these polls. There's always a zillion polls. All the news companies pretty much do them. We do them, in fact, on our website. If you go to AmericaTonight.net, we've had one sitting up there for a while about what you'll do with your check when you get your check back, if you're getting any money back from taxes. If you're not and you're still upset about it, just ignore those comments. But there's a poll about that. There's a poll about junk food. If you're going to reach for the crappiest of crap food, what is it going to be? It's going to be the cold pizza or bag of chips and dip or, you know, what is it going to be? So anyway, we've established I like polls. And this new poll from a CBS that was released screams the headlines that we already know. I mean, screams the information we already know in their headlines. And that information is that Americans are upset and frustrated with pretty much everyone in Washington. And you could say President Obama, naturally, Congress and the Democrats and the Republicans. And people are very pessimistic, and you can hear it. It resonates with a crowd on America Tonight about what the future holds. 7 in 10 Americans are dissatisfied with the way things are going in Washington, including 22% who say they are angry, using the word angry, about the situation. About 15% overall approve the job being done by Congress. And opinions of both parties are near or at pretty much historic lows. 55% of the people surveyed hold unfavorable views of Republicans, 54% unfavorable views of Democrats. And the job approval rating, we've talked about this with the Rasmussen poll, this time it's CBS, has fallen to 47%. Americans no longer say he shares their priorities for the country. There is growing dissatisfaction with Washington's economic policy especially. And you know, a lot of the reason for that is because so many states are going broke, so many counties are having problems, and then that means your property tax goes up. And every time you turn around, especially when you're in that deadly middle class, which is the majority of Americans, you are being nickeled and dimed to death. So unless you've suddenly gotten a bump in your money's coming in, this is really starting to affect you. And we haven't even begun to see the effects of healthcare reform and how that's going to hit the pocketbooks of so many. So I think these polls are going to get uglier. I think the polls are going to are just going to keep showing us the same thing. When a president comes in, he's going to have higher ratings. So I kind of say that's a little bit of a wash when you have some crazy number. Oh, 68%. This guy was the bomb. And then 4 months later, he tanked. But now you go from 68% in April of 2009 to May of 2010. You go from 68% to 47% for what it's worth. But I don't need polls to tell me that. We hear it on America Tonight. I hear it in my own life. I mentioned the story of walking the dog the other day, and somebody was, you know, dogging some of the policies and talking about how crazy it was. In fact, he went further and told me that there was no way he was going to get health coverage. He was out of work, and he would just pay the penalty. He said, fine, they can fine me and give me the penalty. And there's more people that are going to take that road, I think, than the government actually realizes. And I feel for the future generations. I feel for all these bright young minds that are getting out of college now, and I really hope and pray they're able to throw out the hooks and something lands for them, because there is definitely a scarcity of jobs in certain industries. There's no question about that. All right, I teased that we were going to talk about John Wayne, and in fact we are, and that's coming up here in a few minutes. Stephen Shohead is going to join us. He's been on before. I think he was on about maybe a month ago, and he was talking about Hollywood stories. He had really some entertaining things about stars and legends and all that stuff, and he's a tour guide in L.A. Can you imagine the stories he has about the people who get on those buses? But especially when it comes to Westerns. And it was John Wayne who said, screw ambiguity. Perversion and corruption masquerade as ambiguity. I don't like ambiguity. I don't trust ambiguity. The Duke had some pretty good things to say in his day. And the 26th of May would have been his birthday. So we're going to find some more John Wayne-isms and stories about the guy who, man, my grandfather loved him. I think I grew to love the Westerns just because I ended up hanging out with him and watching so many of them, and that was probably, John Wayne was probably his favorite. So that's coming up for a little break in the action next, right here on ATN.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communication Radio Network.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
HempUSA.org urges everyone to plan ahead for possible food shortages in the future. We offer this dense, nutrient-storable food directly from the farm to your door. What the world needs is our energy-packed hemp food in a storable, portable form that can easily and quickly be picked up for travel. This food contains readily available protein, amino acids, essential fatty acids, digestive enzymes, and major minerals. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. And with prices rising in every sector, the investment in your future is critical to have some storable food available. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so be practical and be wise. Call 908-691-2608 and place your order today. If food shortages don't come, you can always rotate our hemp foods back into your daily food supply. To place your order, learn more, and see numerous other great products, visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you. Otherwise, leave it alone.
That's a clip from one of John Wayne's movies, True Grit. The Duke who we need to come to our rescue when we get frustrated with what's happening in Washington. I have fond memories of John Wayne, and the reason why is because my grandfather would watch his movies over and over again, and if I wanted to spend time with him, I would end up sitting on the couch, and I'd be watching those movies as well, and he always had some funny stories to tell me about him. But I'll tell you, one of the best storytellers around, I mean, he is really good, Stephen Shohat. He's got the book to prove it, Hollywood Stories. He's a Hollywood tour guide. It's like it seems like he's just pulling layer after layer after layer off of some of the rumors and some of the stories that have been flying around for a long time about all kinds of celebrities. Last time we had him on, we were zigging and zagging all over the place and talking about a lot of different celebs like Johnny Depp and Jack Nicholson was somebody else that comes to mind that we talked about. But this time we wanted to focus on John Wayne, because this would have been on the 26th. It would be John Wayne's birthday. How old would John Wayne be, Stephen, if he were alive today?
Hey, Kate, 103.
Oh, 103. Hey, some people live to be 103, so, you know.
Right, it might have been tough for him because he pretty much abused his body a lot. But
kidding.
Yeah.
What was his real...
He was a great guy.
Oh, yeah. What was his real name? People love to know. You know this.
Michael Morrison.
Yeah.
And when he was 11 years old, he used to walk to school each day in Glendale with a dog named Duke. And he'd pass by a firehouse, and the fireman knew his father was struggling a little bit, so they toss him a few sandwiches. But they couldn't remember that name, so they'd always say, hey, here comes Big Duke and Little Duke. And so that's how he got the nickname Duke. And that name he answered to more often than he answered to the name John Wayne, actually.
Yeah, no kidding. How did he get his start? What drew him to the movie business?
Well, what happened was is that Tom Mix, who was a silent film star, wanted to get tickets to the USC football games, and John Wayne was a player on that team. And so Tom Mix went to Howard Jones and said, well, who was the coach of USC, how can I get free tickets, even though, you know, he was doing very well, Tom Mix. And the coach said, well, some of my boys need jobs, summer jobs, and if you provide them at your studio, I'll give you all the tickets you want. And so Marion Michael Morrison was one of the kids, one of the football players who got a job over at Fox. And he just started expressing an interest in making movies. At first he worked as a prop man. And one of the things that happened was in the summer of 1927, the young John Wayne went body surfing in Huntington Beach, and he was trying to impress some girls on the shore, and he hurt his shoulder very badly, so badly that he couldn't play football anymore. So he went back to USC in the fall, and the coach Jones was really mad at him. He said, Morrison, you're useless to me. I'm taking your scholarship away. So without the football scholarship, he gave up his dreams of becoming a lawyer and decided to go full-time back to work at Fox. And he had already been in some college plays, and he began to express an interest in being an actor. And he was noticed by the director, John Ford, who used him as a stuntman in a couple of movies. And John Ford recommended him to another director named Raoul Walsh. And Raoul Walsh was making a movie called The Big Trail, and he one day approached Morrison and he said, young man, you know, I'm making this movie and I think you'd be perfect for the Indian Scout. Do you know anything about shooting or riding or roping? He said, no, I don't know anything about that. He goes, well, don't worry, the stuntman will teach you. But we got to do something about your name, because Marion Morrison, that's not a good name for a movie star. You know, why don't we rename you after Mad General Anthony Wayne from the Revolutionary War? And then he said, well, wait a minute, Tony Wayne doesn't sound strong enough to me. We'll just make it simple. We'll just call you John. And so that's how John Wayne got his name and his major start in the movie The Big Trail.
The Big Trail. So he goes from The Big Trail, but when does he really explode, Stephen? When does everybody know who the Duke is?
The big movie is 1939, and it's Stagecoach. And what happened was The Big Trail was a big flop. He had about 10 years of being in B-movies, which made him sort of a matinee star, but really didn't catch the eye of really big Hollywood producers. And he was always very good friends with John Ford. And John Ford, Henry Fonda, John Wayne, Ward Bond, they used to go out and drink quite a bit. But John Wayne would never think of asking for John Ford's help in his career. And then one day John Ford was just casually mentioning, hey, Duke, have you heard of a story called The Big Trail? Have you heard of a story called Stagecoach? I'm thinking of making it into a movie. Who do you think could play the Ringo Kid? And without hesitation, John Wayne said, Lloyd Nolan. And John Ford said, really? Well, Lloyd Nolan, he's okay, but I was thinking of somebody else. He said, Duke, you know, I want you to play it. And for weeks after that, John Wayne was so nervous that John Ford would actually remember his suggestion and pick Lloyd Nolan over him. And I'll tell you what happened. When they premiered The Big Trail, a lot of the kids who had seen John Wayne in the Saturday matinees, they had now grown up. They were of college age. The first time he appeared on the screen, John Wayne was actually sitting in the movie theater. He twirled his Winchester rifle around. It was one of the great cinematic entrances of all time. He got a standing ovation in the theater, and that's when he knew that he had made it.
Yeah, and it was really all about the Western because, you know, talk about being typecast. He was, what, 6'4"? And when he put on all the you know, the hat or anything that was cowboy-looking, he fit right in that saddle, and he really played that part well, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, one time John Wayne gave an interview and said that he'd like to play something different from either a Western hero or a soldier. And the wife of one of his regular co-stars, Harry Carey, she got really mad at him after the interview and said, you know, people depend on you to play these parts. We've got movies centered around you. You're a big star. You have responsibility to the people who made you big. Don't go off and pretend like you can be a very versatile actor. I mean, that's not good for your career. We need you to play these same parts over and over and over. And after that, with some exceptions, he pretty much, stuck to that type of role.
So Stagecoach really did it for him, but as you move forward through the movies that he did, what do you think was his biggest movie, his biggest box office success, the one people still talk about?
Oh, there are a lot of them. The Searchers was a tremendous one. And can I tell you a quick story about that movie?
Yeah.
It was made in 1956 with John Ford. And they were making it in the Monument Valley in Utah, and they used to go up there all the time. And the only problem was that they would always get sandbagged by the weather. It was very unpredictable. What happened was John Ford, he said, Duke, you know, this time it's foolproof. We're going to write the weather into the script. If it snows, you'll chase the Comanche through the snow. And John Wayne said, well, that's great, but how are you going to know what the weather is? And he says, oh, I didn't think about that. So he goes down to the Navajo. John Ford went down to the Navajo trading post, and he always liked to give the local Navajo people jobs because it was a very depressed area. So he found an old medicine man, and he says, sir, do you have special powers that can predict the weather? And the medicine man went into a trance, shut his eyes, and said, rain. And sure enough, it did rain. And John Ford was so grateful. He said the next day he paid him $100. He said, tell me of the weather again today. So the guy shuts his eyes again, goes into a trance, says, cloudy. So every day for a week, the medicine man predicted the weather. Every day for a week, John Ford paid him. And then one day the medicine man says, cannot tell weather today. And John Ford's like, I'm depending on you. He says, transistor radio broke.
You need a rim shot for that. That's a good one, for sure. And so
that was a really big hit. That was the only time that movie where John Ford, actually, John Wayne did a scene, and John Ford had always been critical of his acting, and he actually applauded after John Wayne did one of his scenes. It was very dynamic. And then the cameraman came out with some really bad news. He said, Mr. Ford, we didn't get the shot. And he goes, why not? And what's that noise? And they went into the other room, and it turned out that John Wayne's co-star, Ward Bond, had pulled the camera out of the wall, the camera plug out of the wall socket, and was shaving himself with an electric razor. So unfortunately, it didn't get on film.
Oh, that's crazy. Hey, we have just a couple of minutes left. How many movies altogether did the Duke make?
Oh, gosh, I don't know the number offhand, but it's over 100. I'd have to look up the exact number. But you know the amazing thing, Kate, he was broke after 100 movies.
Wow.
In 1959, he and Fred McMurray both had the same business manager. But Fred McMurray was a very careful man and was calling the guy up every week saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Tell me everything. And took control of his own investments.
Sure.
While John Wayne was a very trusting guy and said, oh, he's taking care of me. I'm fine. And then he found out in 1959, everything he had was gone.
That's depressing, boy. And then luckily he still could go to work and make some more movies, but it was fun to watch him in all those Westerns. Crazy. Stephen, always a pleasure to have you on the story. You are such a good storyteller, and people who take any of your tours have to feel very lucky. They must pinch themselves. Thanks for joining us on ATN.
Thank you. The book is called Hollywood Stories.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I Shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well-respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Decision-making continues on the Hill as a senator from Pennsylvania, Robert Casey, has come up with a real doozy, legislation to bail out union pension funds that are drying up. Joining us to talk about this bogus bailout is Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty. Andrew, always fun to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be there, Kate. And let's keep in mind that it's $165 billion to only bail out private union pension funds. This isn't even focusing on the massive unfunded liabilities or the massive liabilities that are being faced by public employee unions.
Yeah, so my question is, how do they come up with these, I call them guesstimates, $165 billion. You and I both know even that number is probably going to increase. I don't understand how, it's like fraud. Oh, it's $165 billion. And the number, first of all, I don't think we should be going there. I don't think we should bail out the unions for some bad decision making. But the number could, who knows how big it could explode to. And tell everybody who gets to pay for that, Andrew.
Well, we all get to pay for it. I mean, this is really camel's nose under the tent sort of stuff here. Essentially, you know, it's like this. You get to this point in the legislative cycle. You know, here we are just about 6 months out from the fall elections, and they're throwing as much stuff out there for the American public to try to digest hoping that, well, knowing that we won't be able to comprehend it all, and hoping that they can sneak something like this through. And what you're talking about essentially is a massive influx of government money to pay off the unions which have been fueling the Democratic machine.
So we can only hope that there's going to be a lot of opposition to this, because I also agree with what you're saying, that this is payback time, and I don't understand why the taxpayers have to pay for bad, mangled pension, you know, decisions that others foisted on the people who worked for them in the first place. So I would think there'd be opposition mounting to this. Don't you think so?
Well, I think opposition is going to start. It's one of those things where you have folks, you know, the powers that be, that have fundamentally misunderstood the ire of the American people. You know, they try to classify it as, you know, obviously there's the racism issue that they say that is out there. There's just the anti-incumbent issue. And when push comes to shove, what it all boils down to is folks are tired of not being listened to, especially when it comes to massive amounts of government spending. And it's not just at the federal level, but at the state level and the local level. I just came from the second in the series of hearings in my own county in which people are really angry that our county government, my county government is talking about a 12% increase in personal income tax and 13% increases in personal property tax. And so, you know, you have folks in government who have a tin ear towards this. They don't understand it. And you have other folks who have their own agendas at work. But the bottom line is still the same. We're going to spend massive amounts of public money to bail out yet another entity in American society.
Yeah, and that hearing is scheduled for Thursday. And I don't think that it, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I think there will be the opposition. That's why we talked about that. And I hope that bill doesn't pass, because it's like you mentioned, there's so much noise out there that you're so confused. There's no way to dissect it all at once, and it's happening fast. Do you think there's something to that? Like, let's just try to ram through as many things as we can and see what we can snake through before anyone really notices.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the bottom line is you've got so many different wheels in motion. Keep in mind that, you know, especially when it comes to the regulatory issues or the new mandates that are coming out, let's set aside the spending issue for a second. You know, you have folks who have a hard time, filtering through the noise that comes out of Congress. Stuff comes out of Congress, then it goes to the federal executive branch, and even fewer people pay attention to what the executive branch agencies are doing. In terms of the spending issues, it's actually much easier for people to latch onto those because you're talking about something very, very concrete. You know, $165 billion is something that folks can actually focus on and get their heads around. I mean, it's a massive number. Don't get me wrong, but
boy,
it's not
this
sort of airy fairy discussion of, say, corporate average fuel economy standards or regulating CO2 as a pollutant. I mean, that's stuff that folks can understand.
Sure.
But they really get numbers. They really get dollar amounts.
Yeah. You know, what part of what you do as the president of the Institute for Liberty, part of what I like that you guys do is you're all about, you're in there fighting for really the small guy, the small business, which we're all about. We talk about it all the time on America Tonight. So last week we were kicking it around with the Senate financial reform. That goes through. Your reaction to that for small businesses?
Well, I mean, you know, the bottom line is, well, we've got a couple of themes that we do. Let me just, we'll talk about small businesses in a second. But one of the things we've been talking a lot about at IFL is what we're calling, at least in the near term, the illusion of solution. I haven't come up with a better term yet. I'm still working on that. But it's this constant drumbeat that comes out of both the administration and the Democrats in Congress that they create these massive schemes that are designed to fix some problem, but in fact they don't fix the problem. Like they promise that they're going to cut healthcare costs and increase access, and what does their healthcare bill do? It increases costs and decreases access. The financial reform bill is part and parcel of this. It says it's supposed to make it so that we don't have these businesses that are too big to fail, but in fact it enshrines too big to fail and creates massive bailout opportunities for these businesses that are all of a sudden too big to fail. And so, you know, at the same time, the impact on small business in the end is that as you regulate these entities ad infinitum, you're going to reduce the ability of small businesses to get much needed credit. Now, the administration has, there are two sort of fundamental ways of looking at small business from government. There's the way our side looks at it, which is that government largely should get out of the way of small business, that we've got a $1 trillion regulatory state. If we cut red tape, small businesses will hire, et cetera, et cetera. The other side looks at small business, and they're always looking for ways to deliver capital to these small businesses, either through government contracts or access to government-backed credit. And what they're, and small businesses traditionally have never used government-backed credit programs because they're very, very hard to use. They don't offer competitive rates, et cetera, et cetera. And so what this does is it will effectively squeeze out, what the financial reform bill does is it will effectively squeeze out consumer-driven credit opportunities for these small businesses and force folks into the SBA programs that they don't want to use, that are very, very hard to use, or in fact they will simply not take advantage. And a lot of them will fail as a result or have very, very rough times ahead. So as they're trying to fix the economy by engaging in this financial services reform, what they're doing is actually going to further hamstring the economy.
Yeah. Something else that that you guys talk about that I've floated around a lot on America Tonight is another thing that's kind of a ruse that a lot of people don't understand, and that's the VAT, the valued added tax. In Greece, you see what's happening, the riots and the craziness over the euro and what's going to happen ultimately with the euro. And part of what the people there are furious about is the value-added tax that now is being shoved down their throat. Why should we be why should the people listening be concerned about a VAT?
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where Europe is a prime example of what goes wrong when you promise a VAT in exchange for reducing income taxes and then or eliminating income taxes, and then not only do you not eliminate the income tax, you raise them while at the same time charging people exorbitant rates for a VAT. A VAT is a sales tax on steroids. Now, I know a lot of folks want to move to some sort of a national sales tax, but imagine if at every piece in the chain of custody that a product has going from inventor to marketplace or concept to marketplace, at every stage there, an additional tax is added on to that good. So, you know, let's just take a piece of paper. You tax the chopping down of trees and the sale of those trees to the paper mill. You tax the paper that's processed and goes to the warehouse for the book distributor. You charge it when it goes to the publishing house. You charge the book when it comes out of the publishing house. And you're essentially adding to those fees. And essentially what ultimately happens is the consumer pays the bill and pays through the nose. There's no cost savings that's involved. Because keep in mind, corporations pay no taxes. Corporations pass those taxes on to consumers. So consumers are always footing the bill for those things.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it was fun kicking it in the can with you down the road, so to speak, especially in talking about this next big bailout that people are going to get hit with right between the eyes, $165 billion-plus for the unions for some bad decision-making. Andrew Langer, president of IFL. Always, like I said, a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks.
Anytime you're on the back, just let me know.